Good morning, everybody. So great to see each of you this morning. Hey, if you are visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. You're here on a very unique Sunday. We are presenting a vision for our church for over the next 5 years. So I want you to know that what you're going to experience today is not a normal Sunday. Typically, I will preach through a very specific passage of Scripture, of course, and we'll hear from God's Word directly in that way. But today is more of a presentation, and we are wrapping up, actually, this week, the first 4 weeks of this 8-week series, and this is the end of the guide. So if you have a vision guide, take that out now. We're going to be covering the mile markers today for our Next Gen Ministry, Kernan Missions, Kernan Equip, and on the very back, Kernan Central. So we got a lot to cover. So I don't want to waste too much time. If you got here a little after 10 o'clock and you thought you were late for community groups, good news is you're on time for the service. So the bad news is you need to figure out a better way to set your clock. Thank you guys for being here this morning. All right, so let me pray for us, and we're just going to jump right in. We got a lot of great stuff to get into today. Jesus, thank you so much for your grace. I pray that we truly would fix our eyes on you, and the things of this world would grow strangely dim, Lord, as we focus on the gospel and your grace and your love for us, and that your love would overwhelm our hearts, Lord, in a way that draws us to you and increases our love for you and increases our love for each other. I pray that as we talk about these things today, in this vision and this plan for our church moving forward, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way, that you would speak to us, speak through me, and that you would truly, God, give us what you want us to hear today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So like I said, we are now in week 4 of our vision series, which is the final week in terms of laying out these details of our vision and our plan that God's given us. But I want you to fully understand that this series continues next week, all right? So this is kind of, you can consider this week kind of like halftime, all right? So spring break came at a good time. This is the halftime in the series because for the next 4 weeks, starting next Sunday, we're going to be talking about our new core values as a church. And so we're calling those our guardrails. In other words, those are the values that keep us on the road heading towards the destination. Okay, so those are vitally important. Those guardrails and those core values that we're going to be covering, those 5 core values over the next 4 weeks. I can't emphasize enough how important that is to the culture here at our church and to accomplishing this vision. So all these details and stuff we've been going through are great, but they mean nothing if we don't live out those 5 core values that we're going to start talking about next week. So I'm looking forward to preaching that. Those are going to be more of a sermon. I'm going to preach straight from the scripture on each one. And so I'm looking forward to that as well. Just the presentation stuff is good, but I'm ready to get back into the word and preaching that exegetical sermon. So this week we're discussing 4 out of 6 of these vehicles and these ministries that are the context in which we carry out this 5-year plan. So these ministries are what take us to that destination in 2025 of becoming a church that exists to glorify God by making disciples who worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as we go. We believe that's the kind of church that God is calling us to be over the next 5 years. So this week, like I said, we're covering a lot of ground, so we got a lot to cover, and I want to get right into it. So the first vehicle or the first ministry that I want to talk about this morning is our Next Gen ministry or our Next Generation ministry. Psalm 145 Verse 4 tells us, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." So I want you to imagine a scenario with me. Imagine there's a new young couple that has just moved to Jacksonville, and they're expecting their first child, and they start attending here at Kernan. All right, and this couple, they're Christians, they love the Lord, They have a great desire to raise their child to love God and to follow Jesus. Okay, but here's what I want us to consider. As that child grows up and goes through all of those pivotal life stages that we all go through from childhood and into the teenage years, all the way to college graduation, what should the relationship between his or her parents and our church look like in terms of raising that child up to become a disciple of Jesus? What is the relationship between the parents and the church? Or in other words, what role do the parents play and what role does the church play? Well, that's a great question. And that is the question that our next generation ministry here at Kernan seeks to answer. So to illustrate this point and kind of put it in perspective, I want to ask a few volunteers to come up to the stage. So first of all, you guys go ahead and come up. Don't be shy. So first of all, this is Jonathan Herndon. He's our next gen pastor. You guys know Pastor Jonathan. By the way, this guy's getting married Saturday, so yeah. We're excited for you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck. I'm just going to leave it at that. Here you go. No. No, we're excited, buddy. I'll talk to you more about that later. All right. Alicia, how are you doing?
Good.
Good to see you. Are we shaking hands still? Or are we doing fist bumps? I don't know. There we go. Okay. All right. So this is Alicia and Ariana Dice. We're very excited to have them up here with us to illustrate this point. I don't know how excited you guys are, but it's going to be good. So, Alicia, here's what I want you to know. I want you to know some facts here, okay? These are very important facts. So, from birth, now how many kids do you have? Five? Okay, so a few. So, from birth to their 18th birthday, all right? Your children, and I have to look, okay, that's 157,776 hours that they will live between their birth and their 18th birthday, about 940 weeks, all right? So we have some marbles to represent those hours, okay? All right, you think you can handle that? Juggle, I'll hold these marbles? No, we don't have 157,000. Our budget wouldn't allow for that. All right, so we're actually gonna shrink that down into 1 week, okay? So we're gonna look at 1 week. So here's the deal. All right, at best, children are going to spend 4 hours a week at church. That's at best, right? That's like the super Christian family. You know what I mean? Like if you're there 4 weeks, if you're here four hours in the week, then you're doing great. All right. So at best, your kids are going to spend 4 hours a week at church. So let's see, Jonathan. That means so Ariana, if you could pour those marbles in Jonathan's hands, let's see if he can handle that. All right. Can you handle that? Four? You got it? You sure? You're good. Okay, good. All right. Now, 4 hours a week they spend at church, which means that's 164 hours, Alicia, that your kids are not at church. So, Ariana, that includes time when they're at school. Could you just go ahead and start pouring those in your mom's hand? All right. Okay. So this includes time that they're at school. This includes time they're sleeping. This includes time around the dinner table. This includes all the extracurricular activities. This includes swim lessons. This includes...
She's doing good.
What's going on? All right, this includes... Keep pouring, yeah. 164 hours, okay? Come on, Alicia. Is that it? Okay, all right. Okay, so you only drop like maybe 20, they're still falling. Okay. All right, now hang on. Don't move, all right? So I think this illustrates something for us. All right, number one, we need to pray for Fernando and Alicia, right? Number one, parents, listen now. How much your child learns about Jesus is on you. 4 hours. that this guy and me and the other staff and the teachers and volunteers are going to spend with your kids a week. 164 hours, they're under your domain. All right, number two, you know what else this tells us? Parents. Parents need our help. Parents need the church's help to disciple and raise their kids. So this is the relationship we want to build here at Kernan moving forward. In this next generation ministry, the driver of that vehicle, parents, it's you. You're driving this vehicle. But the church, we want to be in the passenger seat, there with you, helping and assisting you along the way with those directions through life. So at Kernan, we want to partner with families to help you build a Christ-centered home, to raise up a generation who seeks to worship with authenticity and walk in community and witness as they go. That's what we want to do with you as your partner in this process. Hey, will you give them a hand? Thank you, guys. Watch your step. Kyle, don't let me trip on these. Okay, thank you. So this philosophy of ministry is known as family discipleship. That's essentially the philosophy of what we're conveying here. And it's a biblical concept. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 6, listen to this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is verses 4 through 9, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." In other words, we should always be discipling and teaching our kids about the Lord in every season and aspect of your daily life. So one of the practical ways that we want to help you as a church and help you as parents, one of the practical ways we want to do that in this process of discipling your child is by giving something to you that we're calling the Kernan Family Discipleship Guide. Kernan Family Discipleship Guide. Now, this is coming in August of this year, and I'm really excited about this. We're working on it now. But this is basically going to be a guide for you as parents to hold in your hands and take home with you and go through with your children. It's going to be packed full of ideas and resources for you, and we'll, of course, provide opportunities for you to meet with us as a staff if you need to talk about some of this or if you need our help and our guidance. We want to be here for you. We want to do the best we can to equip you as parents to disciple your kids to love the Lord. Now, so it's going to be a great tool. I'm excited about it, and that's something to look forward in the future. Now, I'm intentionally not spending time going through all the events and all the activities that you see there in your vision guide of all the things we're going to be doing with our preschool ministry and our kids and our students. You can read that there for yourself, all right? Because I want us to start rethinking how we approach this ministry area of our church. It's not about programs. It's not about events, though you know, those things are important and they have their place. But ultimately, family discipleship is about a lifestyle of obedience. It's about a calling as a parent to serve the gospel to your child and to raise them up to love the Lord, to become the parents and guardians that Christ is calling us to be. But please know this, if you have any questions at all, please do not hesitate to ask Jonathan or any of us staff. We are here for you. I want you to know that. Please do not feel alone or isolated that you're not ready to jump into this kind of philosophy in your home. We want to help you. That's the whole point of this. So We need more volunteers, honestly. Like, that's, you know, a huge factor in the success of Next Gen Ministry. We need more of you to volunteer here at church to help in Awana and help in our kids programming and our student programming. We want you to know that we're going to train you and we're going to equip you to serve, but we do need more volunteers. In fact, we're actually going to have our first Next Gen volunteer training on March 28th, so coming up real soon, from 9 to 12. Breakfast is included, all right? So there you go. So come on out, March 28th from 9 to 12, Next Gen volunteer training. We're going to help start this process of equipping you to help parents serve and disciple their children. So we want to do this together. This is a team effort. This is a church-wide effort. It's for the good of our kids, the good of our students. It's for the glory of God. Can we do this together? Amen. All right. Well, let's continue moving on to our fourth vehicle or ministry that will help us get to 2025, and that is Kernan Missions. All right, Kernan Missions. So again, you know, our goal is by the year 2025 to become a church that makes disciples who worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as we go. So for that third purpose, right, for witnessing to the world, being a witness for Christ in our everyday lives and living on mission for Him, for that to happen, Kernan Missions is going to be the primary vehicle that will help us become that kind of church. So Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 28, He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So we know this command as the Great Commission. It's for all believers of all time, not just a few. We are called to live on mission for God and reach this world for Him. Jesus said in John 20, 21, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So you see, we are a sent people. We are living on mission for God, whether you realize it or not. So one aspect of this, of course, is personal evangelism. In other words, you know, sharing the gospel with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your friends. And over time, we want to train and equip ourselves to do that better. But I want us to focus more today under Kernan Missions on the organized part of this in terms of how we want to do missions collectively as a church. And I think a great way to organize our missions efforts as a church is to go by Acts 1:8, right? In Acts 1:8, Jesus said to His disciples before He ascended to heaven, He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So notice that in this strategy to reach the world, Jesus is telling His few disciples before He left the earth, He's telling them and planning this out for them geographically, right? So Jerusalem was their local mission, Judea and Samaria was their regional mission, and of course, the end of the earth was their international mission. And I think this is a great model for any church to use and for us to approach serving and fulfilling the Great Commission in that same mindset: local, domestic, and international. So over the next 5 years, that's how we want to organize our missions efforts here at Kernan: local, domestic, and international. So let's talk about each of those briefly. So with local missions, the question we really want to ask with this is, how can we maximize our gospel impact here in our own city, here in Jacksonville? How can we reach Jacksonville with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, here's how. Over the next 5 years, the mission work that we do in Jacksonville, we want to filter all of that and organize that in our community groups. Now, I mentioned this last week when I spoke about community groups and we covered those mile markers. So here's how this will work. Here's the details. So we want each community group to adopt a local missions effort or organization, all right? So that could be the Florida Baptist Children's Home, that could be First Coast Women's Services, that could be a homeless shelter, it could be all kinds of missions, efforts, or organizations in and around our city. And we're asking that each community group make a 2-year commitment. So you adopt a local missions opportunity for 2 years. And so you'll choose from a provided list or have, you know, you can come to a staff, you can ask us if the missions organization is legit. And, you know, of course, we just want to make sure that the things we're out there supporting are number one, gospel-centered and in line with our beliefs. We don't want to, you know, get into some kind of contradictory situation. So we just want to make sure that the places we're supporting are doing good work, okay? And so we're going to have a list that groups can choose from. But let's say, for example, that CG-30A, some of you are like, what? Sounds like a droid from Star Wars. CG-30A, remember last week we changed the name, right? So Community Group 30A, so that's for people in their 30s, all right? So let's say that that they want to adopt, you know, a local homeless shelter. So what they'll do is they will adopt that for a 2-year commitment, and then we're asking that you serve once a quarter, all right? So a group of you from your community group go and actually help out there once a quarter. That's 4 times a year, 8 times total in that 2-year window. All right, so why do it that way? Well, organizing our local missions efforts by community groups will actually allow us to support more missions efforts around our city, right? Because if we just put something in the bulletin and we open it up for everybody, that's great, except I know how us Baptists work. Like, we don't respond well to things in the bulletin, and we don't usually sign up to go serve real quickly, okay? I'm just speaking from my own experience, all right? But if we organize this through community groups, then guess what? It gives each of you an opportunity to own this, to really invest in that missions opportunity. So I believe that, number one, we'll actually be able to do more mission work in our city, and number two, it gets more of us serving, right? It allows for more of us to be involved instead of just a handful of us every now and then. So I'm excited about that. I think this is a great way for us to be salt and light in the city of Jacksonville, as Jesus has commanded us to do. So I think this is a great opportunity for us. I'm really excited about that. I hope you are too. So that's local missions efforts. All right, let's talk about national or domestic. What are we going to do here in the United States to reach the United States with the gospel? So the primary way that we want to make an impact here in the United States is through church planting. Church planting. In other words, starting new churches in places that need the gospel. Why? Why church planting? Why not, you know, some other kind of effort? Well, I want you to look at these statistics, okay? According to Pew Research Center and the religious landscape study that they do, this is the percentage of evangelical Protestants in these cities. Okay, so evangelical, that word has been kind of tossed around a lot. You hear that a lot in the news. But essentially, the basic definition is that you believe that you must be born again by putting your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, and that you hold the Bible very high as the ultimate authority. All right, so 9% of people in Boston, Massachusetts, claim to be evangelical Protestant. 10% in San Francisco. The whole state of Utah. Only 7%. Tampa, Florida. I think that's probably the most surprising. I mean, that's in our own backyard, 18%. How can we do our part? How can we do our part after we realize that in our own backyard, in our own nation, the gospel is not going forth in every nook and cranny and neighborhood of these cities? It's not. Guess what? We need new gospel-centered churches We need new local bodies of Christ in these places where the gospel is not being proclaimed, here in America. Now, we live in the South, as we sometimes refer to it as the Bible Belt. And I know what you're thinking. In our minds, if you're from the South and you've always lived here, just like myself, there's a church on every corner. We don't need new churches, we say. But actually, oh yes, we do. Because not every church on every corner is actually preaching the gospel, number one, and not every church on every corner is actually doing anything to reach people. Some are, praise God for those that are, but not everyone is, especially in these cities. So we need new gospel-centered churches. We need the gospel to be preached and proclaimed. We need the word of God to be preached and proclaimed to people in these places every week, week in and week out. But that's going to take a massive united effort among Southern Baptists to do this. So here's how we're going to do it. We want to partner with the North American Mission Board. We want to partner with the North American Mission Board because they're doing a fantastic job already of organizing this effort. And by the way, a percentage of our tithes and offerings every week goes to the North American Mission Board, as well as the International Mission Board, which we'll talk about in a second. So we're already supporting these agencies. But we want to partner with them, and what we want to do is, I believe our church can become a supporting church. So basically, there's two categories I want to talk to you about. Being a supporting church and a sending church, okay? So first of all, you can think of it this way. So a supporting church means that we come alongside a church planter, all right, a new church planter who's starting a new work, maybe in Boston, maybe in New York, maybe in Tampa, we don't know, wherever. But we come alongside a new church planter starting a new church, and we make a commitment to him to help him financially, praying for him, and potentially going on mission trips to help him for at least about 3 years, okay? So about a three-year commitment. That's what it means to be a supporting church. So a difference between a supporting church and a sending church, essentially, is you can think of it this way. When your kid goes to college, his or her aunt or uncle may send him $100 every now and then to help him out, and they support him and they love him, right? But a sending church is the mama, right? The mama wants to make sure she does everything she can to make sure that her baby gets through college and graduates. So she's fully invested, right? That's the difference between a supporting church and a sending church. Eventually, I would love to see us become a sending church. In other words, be that mama church, that mother church, and birth a new congregation somewhere in the United States out of our own efforts and guarantee that support for a very long time. Now, the timeline on this, look, I'm not worried about the timeline so much about this, okay? I think the issue is we just need to be faithful. We need to realize the darkness in our own nation, and we need to do something about it. And I think the North American Mission Board, partnering with them, this is the best way. This is the best plan and the best approach for us to do something about the lostness and the darkness and to put the gospel out there where it needs to go. Amen? Amen. So I'm looking forward to this effort. This is something to really be excited about. But let me say this as well. You know, this is all really exciting. These are big dreams and these are big hopes, and I think we can accomplish this. But just to be frank with you, we're not going to be able to accomplish any of this if our giving doesn't increase. I know nobody wants to hear the pastor talk about that, but that's just a reality. So we do need to give more, and we need to grow in order for this to happen. So what I need you to do is pray. We need to pray together, and we need to ask God to bless us so we can bless others. Amen? This isn't about Kernan building bigger buildings or whatever. This is about us supporting the gospel going forth. That's what we want to do, okay? So it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be difficult, but I know that you can rise to the occasion. I know that we can with the Holy Spirit's guidance and with His power. All right. The third geographical category is international missions. International missions. So we want to be passionate about not only taking the gospel to our city and to our own nation, but around the world, as Jesus said, to the end of the earth, okay? And we want to continue our partnership with Slovenia. Some of you have been to Slovenia, and Randy and John Bell, some of you know them very well. Our church has supported them for many years. We want to continue that partnership with them, so I'm excited about that. We also want to establish new partners moving forward and look at other international opportunities for us to adopt and support. I would love for us to adopt a certain missionary family somewhere in the world that we can invest in, not just financially, but go on mission trips to and support them and encourage them and love them and what they're doing to share the gospel around the world. So we can pray for these people, we can give financially, and we can go on those mission trips to help them. We want to partner with the International Mission Board to do this. So if we support any missionary, it's going to be through the International Mission Board. Again, we're already supporting that agency through a percentage of our tithes and offerings, so we want to continue to support them in a more full manner by adopting a certain missionary family. So we're looking forward to that as well. All right, moving right along. It's a lot of information, right? All right, so Kernan Missions. All right, so now we're going to talk about the fifth vehicle, and that is Kernan Equip. All right, Kernan Equip. So Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12 says this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." So the purpose of Kernan Equip is to really just live up to that name, right? We want Kernan to be a place where every member truly feels equipped, is truly equipped to live for Jesus in their everyday lives. So there's a variety of ways that this can happen. We want to equip new members through our Discover Kernan class, right? That's one way we want to do this. We want to equip you to go deeper in your study of God's Word and specific topics on Wednesday nights. So our Wednesday night classes are a part of Kernan Equip. We want to have special training events where you are equipped to share the gospel, where you are equipped to become a better parent or a better spouse. So parenting and marriage seminars, where you are equipped to manage your finances in a way that glorifies God. We want to equip you to do those things through Kernan Equip in these classes and studies and seminars. We also want to equip you to live the Christian life by connecting with other men in the church and other women in the church through gender-specific Bible studies and events through men's ministry and women's ministry. So whatever the means, whatever the methods, we want every member to truly be equipped to live for Jesus in their everyday lives. So community groups is different than this, right? So community groups is, that's your group and that's your time that you spend with people your own age, living together, or doing life together, serving together, and learning together, all right? This is different. This is all ages mixed together in different classes, learning about specific topics, all right? So we're really excited about Kernan Equip. Something really cool about this that's coming in the fall, and we're going to launch this in the fall, have a grand opening, is our new resource center, okay? A new resource center. Now, we may come up with a better name than that. If you have any suggestions, let us know. But right now, it's the resource center, okay? But let me start by telling you what this is not going to be. This is not a library, okay? So please hear me out. No, this is not a church library. It's also not a thrift store where you can bring all your old stuff for us to have and collect, okay? Here's what this is going to be, all right? The Resource Center is going to be a place where you can find resources that will equip you in your walk with the Lord over specific topics. So I'm really excited about this. As I'm preaching through a book of the Bible, guess what? We're going to have study aids for you, such as maybe if I preach through the book of Genesis, we're going to have commentaries that you can purchase in the Resource Center on the book of Genesis. How cool is that, right? So you can study deeper. You can go deeper into God's Word. As I'm preaching about it, you can learn about it. You can fact check me, right? You can do all that. So we're going to have stuff like that. We're going to have a section for next gen ministry and family discipleship to equip you. We want to have a section for missions so you can learn about opportunities and what mission trips there are. So it's going to be a church-wide effort to resource you and equip you in all these different ways. So that's just a really neat thing that's coming later this fall. All right, so that's Kernan Equip. Okay, so lastly, on the back of your vision guide, the last page, you will see Kernan Central. Kernan Central. So Kernan Central is a vehicle that will help us bring clarity, organization, and cohesiveness to all of our lead teams and our service teams, as well as our policies and our procedures for everything we do, okay? So there's not, I don't want to get into all the details of that here today, but just know that over the next few months, we will be rolling out new next generation policies, a new staff handbook, qualifications and expectations for community group leaders and others who serve in the church. So we're also working on new procedures for our Kernan Safety Awareness Team, KSAT. There's a lot in progress currently and in the future with Kernan Central. We want to bring organization to everything we're doing, and clarity and transparency, and we want to do things well, right? And a lot of that, I know that some of this is boring stuff, just quote unquote, but these policies and these procedures are actually very important. They're very important for the way we serve each other, right? We need to have guidelines for the way we serve each other. We need to have guidelines for who can serve in our kids ministry and our student ministry and all these things, right? So we want to do this well for the love of each other and for the love of God. But here's what I want you to know today. I want you, here's something practical that you can do for Kernan Central and these people that serve in these ways. Pray for them. Pray for everyone on these teams. Make it a point to pray for the people who are serving in the body of Christ, specifically on these lead teams and on these service teams. That's really what Kernan Central is about. It's about service to the body of Christ, right? So we need more people. We need more people on board serving, all right? But that's what this is about. It's about serving the body of Christ, and we should all be a part of that in some way. We should all be serving in some way. So that's Kernan Central, all right? So that takes us to the end of our five-year plan. We have covered our destination. We've talked about the vehicles and the ministries to get us there. We've talked about the mile markers along the way. But now, next week, we have something absolutely important to begin, like I already told you, and that is the guardrails. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be discussing the guardrails or the core values moving forward for Kernan. All right, so there's five of them, and I'm excited about this. I think that, you know, the bottom line is, look, I think everything in this vision guide, it all looks good on paper, and I truly believe this is a great plan from the Lord for our church moving forward, and I want you to be excited about it. I do, and I hope you are, because I believe God's going to do great things. I really do. But also know that in order for these things to happen, we have to have a Christ-centered, godly culture and a healthy church for these things to happen. And we also have to have, most of all, the Holy Spirit working in us and through us through the power of His Word. So the five core values for our church moving forward, in my opinion, are absolutely necessary for this vision to be accomplished. If we don't live according to those core values, then this will not be accomplished. So please come back next week and be excited to learn about this, because I think that this is absolutely vital and necessary to the health and the life of our church moving forward. So I hope that you've enjoyed the first 4 weeks of this series. You know, one thing I want to say, because I actually finished earlier than I thought I would. Wow, never done that. Some of you are like, well, just end it. Don't keep going. We're missing an hour of sleep, man. Come on. Just give me a second. You know, one thing I want to say is we're talking about the next 5 years as a church. But I want you to consider how this five-year plan will look like in the next 5 years of your life? So how old will you be 5 years from now? Don't everybody say it at once. How old will you be 5 years from now? I mean, seriously, think about it. Like, what do you want your life to look like 5 years from now? And here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to incorporate this plan. I want you to incorporate the vision that God's given us for this church into what you think the next 5 years of your life should look like. In other words, prioritize this over the next 5 years of your life. Let it be a top priority in your life. Shape what you do around what God is doing in your life and in His people. I'm going to leave it hanging there because we're going to come back next week and talk about all of that a lot more over the next 4 weeks. But I'm excited about what God's doing. God has been good to this church. He loves this church. So let's be faithful and let's be obedient as we pursue this vision together.